Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the Live Issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
We have one more song that to perform, and then I guess you guys can go home. You don't have to go home, but, well, you know that old saying, you don't have to go home, but you might get stabbed. So this last song is it's a small song, a very short song, and I dedicate it to a certain individual. And on the top of the pole of a sports franchise, the sports franchise, the biggest sports franchise of the ball. Anyways, this goes out to him. Thank you very much. We've been Christmas cards with prostitutes.
Hey, Roger Cattell. He's a stiff as a jackass. That's right. Yeah, the Patriots are 3-0. And Roger Cattell is going,
thank you very much. Good night. Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. You know, being a J-pop alternative podcast host, gaming, anime, and music journalist, and frontman for a Tom Waits cover band, you can, there's a lot of juggling you have to do to make it all happen, but so long as you have the right amount of passion, anything can be done. So, on that note, why don't we start off this week's show? Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start things off with the opening theme to probably one of my favorite shows of this summer, Mob Psycho 100. And as of this recording, the final episode would have aired, and I hope it's as good as the last few episodes have been. Here are the mysterious group known as Mob Choir with the song 99.
If everyone is not special, maybe you can't be what you want to be. So let's learn the good and the good.
By Shinji Takeda, that was Pistol Valve with Pai Kosohasubete from their Love Love Gun album. One of my favorite discoveries from the Japan Night Tour. They were on the 2007 edition of the Japan Night Tour, but for some reason they didn't come to the Cambridge show that I went to. So I kind of lost the chance to see them live, because oddly enough, I went onto their website to see if there was any news about them, and the whole website shut down, so they might not be together anymore. Stuff like that happens. You can't ever predict it. But anyways, on last week's show, I spoke about the series Midori Days and the rise of the weirdly brilliant anime. Now, what I did wind up going into, which is my bad, of course, is whatever happened to this era of strangely good anime? We had a good truckload of bizarre shows that rose to the occasion, like Abenobashi, Paniponi Dash, and even going through the mid-2000s with shows like My Bride is a Mermaid, Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei, and Kiron Kazuko no Ki. So, what exactly made these sorts of anime disappear? Well, this is just speculation, but I believe that there are two reasons behind this. For starters, and probably the easiest of answers, is that the creativity well dried up of all the great ideas for dumb premises. This led to strange anime being created, but without the usual effort to make it a more well-rounded series. In layman's terms, these shows would just be pretty stupid, with nearly nothing to take away from these series. It could be the fault of the original manga or light novel author, or it could be because someone just really needed a paycheck because they were broke. But for whatever the reason, the shows would just suck. A couple great examples of these types of anime-inspired shows were Kenbaku Deluxe, Akikan, and Rosario and Vampire. Now, don't bother looking them up, as they suck. Then, the other reason is because there was that rise of moe, which became an easy moneymaker for the anime industry. Now, for those who don't know the term, moe is made something ridiculously cute, but sometimes presented in a sexy light. Sometimes I used to think like moe was like cute and sexy at the same time. I used to actually think it was a form of fashion, which is actually wrong, as I was told. It did somewhat start with the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, as that was when the iron became hot enough to strike. Its production company, Kyoto Animation, really ran with this with shows like K-On!, Clannad, Tamako Market, and Kanon, all of them being hits in some form. So everyone wanted to get in on it, like with shows like Nyan Koi, Princess Lover, Asano Yoichi, Student Council's Discretion, and, of course, the infamous When They Cry series, which did start around the same time Haruhi did. And thus, people stopped making weird anime and went with the more profitable cutesy stuff. Now, my question here is, will there ever be a return of weirdly brilliant anime? And honestly, it's hard to say. It could be one of those things where it might be years, maybe even decades before another era like this will happen again. But however, with series like Monster Musume, Seiko Boys, the recent Osomatsu-kun revival Osomatsu-san, and you know, just about everything Studio Trigger has unleashed, we could very much see another strangely good era very soon, especially if you look at like the mini anime series genre, like Maho Shoujo Nante Moi Desakara and Uya-san wa Shisunki. You know, that there just has to be a demand for it in the same vein as the moe popularity, and the way things are looking, it could appear to be happening sooner rather than later. But until then, embrace the weirdness that Japan has to offer from time to time, and you may be surprised to discover a stupidly fun anime to watch. One that might also be brilliant. Alright, let us return to the music. From the southern hemisphere located in Melbourne, Australia, here's a band that goes by the name Bloodhounds on My Trail. Here's a recent single that'll appear on a forthcoming, as of yet untitled EP. This is Over the Wall.
Yeah.
from 2014's Abe album, that was Air Aoi with Tsubasa no Yukui. Air Aoi's year started out pretty good with shows across the world, including a couple US states, but unfortunately, she's had to cancel many appearances due to health issues. So, here's hoping she gets better soon. In life, sometimes the things you've been waiting to exist will appear right under your nose. It could be true love, the best job, or even something as simple as a game or movie sequel. I personally experienced this sort of thing with an upcoming film sequel that I had no idea already went into production. In fact, it's already hitting the film festival circuit as we speak, just in time for the Halloween season. I, of course, am talking about the upcoming sequel to the modern-day grindhouse classic Wolf Cop, aptly titled Another Wolf Cop. For those of you who've never heard of Wolf Cop, first off, shame on you. Okay, now that you've been shamed, Wolf Cop is a horror action comedy from Canadian writer-director Lowell Dean, following an alcoholic cop in a small town who finds himself cursed by an occultist, transforming into a werewolf that still knows a thing or two about justice. It's on Netflix on demand right now. Seriously, pause the show. I'm not going anywhere. I'll wait for you to return. Okay, good, you're back. As you saw, the movie is hardcore violent. The gore, the blood splatter, the penis exploding into a tube of throat. That one hurt just watching it. The soundtrack by the band Shooting Guns was pitch perfect for what was happening on screen, and most important of all, it was funny as hell. Wolf Cop was, just as I was talking about in the previous segment about a certain kind of anime, stupidly brilliant. And the fact that they're actually making a sequel with the same main cast is just making me uber excited. However, with excitement comes hesitation. As we all know, sequels to films can mostly be not as good as its predecessors. For every 22 Jump Street, there's 100 machete kills. For every grumpier old men, there's a dozen hangover tubes. For every The Rescuers Down Under, there's a shit ton of All Dogs Go to Heaven tubes. So while I am very stoked that another Wolf Cop is happening, I'm trying really hard not to exceed my expectations, because just as I've learned from almost every movie-based video game I've ever played, it could very well lead to disappointment. With that being said, I'm happy another Wolf Cop exists, and I hope that it's at least as good as the first film. Coming up, we've got Maho Shoujo ni Naritai, who are due to release a new single in the next week or so. From their Boken no Shou Ichi EP, this is Ribitetto.
Thank you. Thank you.
The band may be called weird, but their music certainly kicks ass. From their EP, A Long Period of Blindness, that was The Circle is Closed, except where it bleeds. Okay, their song titles are a little strange, but whatever. Their upcoming third album is nearing completion, and they're just finishing up a European tour with The Velt, who we played on last week's show. This past spring, Kinema Circus, the studio behind Barakamon, one of our favorite anime, caused a little controversy with its recent series, Kumamiko, Girl Meets Bear. Apparently, people got really pissed off with the way things ended, where even the original manga author, Masumi Yoshimoto, spoke out against how it was handled. With it being licensed by Funimation and them no longer posting a good chunk of their shows onto Hulu, it wasn't until they started posting it onto YouTube this summer when I could finally catch it. So I go into Kumamiko knowing of this controversy, and at the start, I'm really enjoying the show. I loved the characters of Machi the Shrine Maiden and Natsu the Bear, and I got that the village officer Yoshio was supposed to be a pestering idiot. The series, which has Machi wanting to go to high school in the city rather than stay in the country, does a surprisingly good job with presenting what it's like to have social anxiety. Natsu tasks Machi to try to do simple tasks to show that she's ready, and sometimes she does well, and other times she has a massive panic attack and fails understandably. I genuinely liked the direction the series went, as it balanced out humor with some understanding of how people with certain mental issues cope with tough tasks. It's not until Kumamiko goes into the arc of Yoshio in the village pushing Machi to become their school idol or whatever to help gain tourism when things start to turn sour for the storytelling. Characters became more unlikable, and the look of horror on Machi's face as she is forced to do these tasks become rather uncomfortable to watch. But I soldiered through with this mentality of knowing how bad the ending was going to be, so I shouldn't be too upset when I get to it. Then the final episode aired, and wow! I was not prepared to see how fucked up the last couple minutes are. I'm gonna spoil it for you because even me saying it won't prepare you for this level of screwiness. So Machi does this great Shrine Maiden dance at the idol contest, and the audience loves it. However, in Machi's head, they're all booing her and throwing rocks at her because she's a country bumpkin. She runs off the stage, cries to Natsu, and tells him that she's never leaving the country and forgetting the idea to go to high school in the city. Instead of convincing her that she did a great job, and that she is more than ready for such a life-changing task, Natsu and the rest of the village let her embrace this fright, which results in Machi's mentality regressing to that of a 5-year-old. Machi basically goes full retard, and I mean that in the medical sense. Again, this is just fucked up. Kumamiko Girl Meets Bear could have been a great series, but some very poor script adaptation choices have led this to being one of the worst endings I've ever seen. And you know, I think this is how Andrew from Wicked Anime felt about the end of Oraemo, a show that he really loved, but I didn't. But an anime with this level of potential doesn't deserve to end in such a shitty way, and it's a shame, because Kumamiko is genuinely funny. So my advice for all of you is to watch episodes 1 through 9 of Kumamiko Girl Meets Bear from Funimation, then just stop, and read the original manga, which started being published in the States last week via One Piece Books. That way, you could avoid this god-awful ending. Please trust me on this one. This is one train wreck you don't want to bear witness to. And no, that pun was not intentional whatsoever. Here's a cut from the late genius known as Nujabes' 2003 album, Metaphorical Music. Accompanied by Uyama Hiroto, this is Next View.
Thank you. して生きられる塗りつぶしたモラル目そらす社会リアルでもぬくもりはここにあるよ Please don't change it、yeah、見えないものじゃ不確かで形をするに欲しがるけど俺は違うだろう確か
Just Like This, a B-side from their Last Moments single. On November 9th, the band will release a new single called Rage of Dust, followed by a tour in Native Japan that includes a final stop at the legendary Tokyo Dome. Fingers crossed that they come to America soon. And by America, I mean Boston. A couple days ago, YouTube announced a new program that anyone can sign up for to be sort of volunteer moderators. The program, called YouTube Heroes,will give members the power to flag multiple videos at once, report on abuse, and get some perks such as testing out new technology before the rest of the world. And I have to say, on paper, it sounds like it could be a good idea. In fact, it would be a good idea if there weren't a couple of red flags flowing mighty in the wind. For starters, while YouTube Heroes get special perks and such,There's one thing that they don't receive. Money. You know, something that we all need in order to buy things like food and shelter so we don't fucking die. I mentioned this after that whole Lin in the Spirits of Inal controversy, but you don't give people difficult tasks and not pay them. It's immoral, unjust, and just plain illegal in my eyes.Because a task like this will require users to spend hours going through content before they get these sort of point thingamabobs that Google is dishing out to users. Then, there is the fact that anyone can sign up for this program, and you know what that means. The trolls come a-marching. And if we know one thing about trolls, they love making miserable, especially the ones with actual talent. So who's to say that Google hires a bunch of trolls into this program, and they start flagging every single video that they have a minor disagreement with. I mean, have you ever had to read through YouTube comments before? It used to be all cheery, but then these jerks come in and shit all over it, transforming that area into a murky, smelly, disgusting wasteland of small-mindedness and stupidity. You know, my buddy Cutterman said it best about this whole thing. YouTube is soon going to be like Chuck E. Cheese, where a troll can be a troll. Now, YouTube has said that there's going to be people keeping an eye on these heroes, so they don't abuse their power. But I don't believe it for a second. Like how Valve claims they watch over all the games coming into Steam, even though they don't. They're claiming someone will be keeping an eye on all this when, in fact, there's no one watching from above to keep the chaos under control. It sucks! And if they don't do the job they claim they're gonna do, then expect YouTube to slide down in quality. But we'll have to see what happens in the long run, and maybe hope that this concept improves as it goes along. For now, let's return to this week's playlist. Here's an oldie from the British animated rock band Gorillaz, who have been making quite the stir on social media. Is album number 5 close to being released? Hopefully, we'll know soon enough. From their breakthrough self-titled debut album, this is 19-2000.
The world is spinning too fast. I'm bundled like issues to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama said to slow down, you must make your own shoes. Stop dancing to the music, I'm good in a happy mood.
Thank you. か行き越した瞬間光満ちていた青い空取り戻す誓いは今瞳に溢れた無力だと嘆くより移動する明日を見たい語り合う夢さえも真実へと誘う
2009 single Owl Iconoclast, which served as the theme song to the video game Blaze Blue Calamity Trigger. Kotoko just recently performed at Singapore's Anna Song event that was held at Anime Festival Asia and will soon be hitting Taiwan before literally ending the year with a 2016-2017 gig in Tokyo. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on Amino via the J-pop, anime, and video games pages at kingbabyduckesh, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/ommysteryinc. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Bloodhounds on My Trail and Weird, provided by Shameless Promotion PR. Thanks again for sending those down for us to spin. Don't forget, our next convention will be at is another anime convention happening on October 14th to 16th in Manchester, New Hampshire at the Radisson Hotel. I'll be there, Wicked Anime will be there, Anime Jam Session, and maybe a few other familiar faces too. Can't wait, it is going to be so much fun. And speaking of Wicked Anime, be sure to check out a brand new episode this Thursday with myself, the Fleming Brothers, 42 Believer, and Victoria. On this week's show, we'll be diving into the recent news in anime, as well as discuss our waifus from when we didn't even know what waifus were. It's a bit of a different format, but I think you'll rather enjoy it. We'll be concluding today's episode with the end theme to one of this summer's most relaxing series, Amanchu. Seriously, I really hope this gets another season. The season finale was just beautiful. Here are Ai Kayano and Eri Suzuki, better known as Pikari and Teko, with the very soothing Futari Shoujo. And until next time, this is your King Baby Doc Kevin Borgo, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.